Welcome, everybody, to Jwanzical Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. Great day to be alive. Great day to be able to share information with you that can be life-changing, powerful, life-changing, life-saving information. I want to say welcome to everybody. Hetep, welcome to all of the new listeners. I want to say a special welcome to all of the new listeners. The numbers just keep growing and growing and growing. People are telling other people about the show, and people are tuning in, and they're listening and following the show. So I just want to say a great big welcome to all of the new listeners. Got a great show lined up for you today. For those of you who are on a spiritual path, you no doubt have heard the word Kundalini before. At some point in your spiritual walk, you've heard it, or if you haven't, you're going to hear it, okay? People have heard of Kundalini yoga. Well, guess what? Chakam Ashakam, Dr. Raoul Nefamen, has just released a brand new book. That's right. I know it's hard to believe. Another one. Yep, another one. A brand new book. Kundalini on, again, that's light on Kundalini yoga, brand new book by Shekhar Shekhar. The subtitle is Self-Realization and Union. Okay, so the complete title is Light on Kundalini Yoga, Self-Realization and Union with. Well, I'm going to tell you all about a fabulous weekend coming up at the end of the month. Actually, that's going to be on Saturday, September the 29th, and Sunday, September the 30th. There's going to be a powerful, powerful Kundalini yoga in Philadelphia, and we'll tell you all about it. But my special guest today is someone, if you're just tuning in for the first time, you're in for a treat. I guarantee you. My special guest today is Orwa Amtahudi Kamo. Those of you who are familiar with Orwa, you know what you're in for. Those of you who are not, let me introduce you to him. Orwa Amtahudi Kamo serves as the chief priest and paramount king of the Pennsylvania and New Jersey area of the Osirisset Society. And for the past 27 years or so, actually it's been more now, he's been responsible for the administration of classes and ceremonies for the African-American community in Philadelphia, Trenton, New Jersey, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Throughout this period, he has trained and supervised over 30 priesthood members and developing various levels of proficiency. And with the assistance of the priesthood body, he's officiated marriage, funerary, and naming ceremonies and sponsored scores of uplifting community programs. Professionally, Orwa has 30 years of experience in business development focused on marketing, retail sales, and real estate. He's been instrumental in the founding of several Osirisset ventures, including current retail operations of the Nile Cafe Vegan Restaurant and scale water purification business. He also played a pivotal role in the of the 20,000-foot complex up here that serves as the group's headquarters, retail operation. Orwa is also involved in the development of the society's first banking institution. Beginning his training in martial arts at the age of 16, has developed proficiency in Japanese Goju, later went on to found a capoeira group in Philadelphia. His early exposure to breathing and meditation practices in these arts matured with his training in Taoist yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, and Iron Crotch Qigong and Iron Shirt Qigong under the direction of the sage Dr. Raoul Nefamen. Orwa is the proud father of 13 children, product of his over 30 years of marriage. And with that, I want to welcome back to Jwanza for Life, my special guest for today. Mo, great to have you back. Thank you so much for agreeing to be my guest again today. I'm looking for a great show.
All right, Jwanza. Tuahu, thank you so much for all your work in spreading the good word among our community, and it's an honor to be with you once again.
You know, Brother Orwa, I've been looking so forward to this show. Anytime I have an opportunity to bring people like yourself, share the positive things that the Osirisset Society is doing, life-changing, life-saving information that is always shared when I bring on either one of the priests, priestesses, or even Shechem Shechem, of course, himself, Dr. Rao Nefa. Man, it's a privilege and an honor. And so I, again, am very humbled and honored to be able to do this work. And again, to the listeners, get ready because you're in for a very, very powerful show. As I mentioned earlier, Dr. Amen has just written a brand new book called Light on Kundalini Yoga, Self-Realization and Union with God. And it's with that in mind that this workshop, or this fabulous Kundalini weekend, shall I say, is going to take place in Philadelphia, and we're going to be telling the listeners all about that. But for a while, I don't want to assume that people understand when they hear the word Kundalini that they know what it is, or even really what yoga is, you know. So first, before we do, first, let's, if I may, just give honor and credit to Shechem Shechem, Dr. Rao Nefa Amen, for all of the work that he's done. For it is without him, we wouldn't be here having this discussion today. So I'd like to just give honor and say Nejirak to Shechem Shechem, Dr. Rao Nefa Amen, for all of the work that he's done. Any thoughts?
Oh, well, that's exactly right. And I have to give you a shorter introduction because it's really not about me. And one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was that I came under his tutelage. And the first thing he taught us was that there's such a thing as an oracle through which you can go to God and you can get the exact steps you need to take to have a successful path in your life. And my path was to be humble, to be a student. And I've done my best to submit to his guidance and try to be a reflection of his work, and anything that I've done that's been a benefit to anybody has come from that process. So we wouldn't be here having this conversation if it wasn't for his work. And I think it's important to point that out because a lot of people in the world and in our community, they like to follow leaders that have already died. You know, I'm a disciple of Marcus Garvey, and I'm a disciple of Malcolm X, and you know, I'm a practitioner of the life of Gandhi, and you know, it's easy to follow somebody when they're gone, you know what I mean? Because there's nobody inspecting how well you're following, and that's really what this book is about. Because this book is not an intellectual presentation as deep as it is. It's really a workbook, you know, on what to do to prove for yourself that there are such things as chakras, that there is mm-hmm. such a thing as yoga, that there are these abilities and powers that we learn, we can attribute to these different chakras within us. But we can talk about chakras all day long. If you don't go home and chant, if you don't do the exercises and the spiritual work, is still just speculation. So I'm just glad to be here and thankful that I've had the teacher that I've had, and that, you know, to whatever degree I've been able to follow, you know, there's still things that I need the bar is so high, but to whatever degree I've been able to follow, I've been able to have some success in my life, and that's what I really am passionate about sharing with other people. So if you're a practitioner of yoga, you've studied yoga, you've heard about yoga, you've chanted mantras, you've done any of these things, you know, my message to you today is that the weekend we're having in Philadelphia is all about proof. It's about, as he says in the book, experimentation, you know, because that's what science is about, right? You have a theory, you have a principle, you think you understand something, but you really can't say that you know until you have put it through clinical trial, right? And a lot of us talk about stuff, but we haven't put it through clinical trial. So this book gives you a step-by-step procedures to put it through clinical trial, and then you'll know for yourself that this is real, that this is, and that's what we benefited from in Osar Set. You know, we don't believe in the oracles. We throw in the oracle readings. We know it's accurate after using it for decades. You know, we don't believe in mantras. We've chanted mantras, and we can stay here for about 365 days, taking turns giving you empirical evidence, you know, that mantra produced this particular effect, you know. So yes, we have to start off giving praise to him, but again, the praise is empty if we don't follow. And following is not blind obedience. It's, okay, wait a minute. Now you said that this is what it is. Let me try it. Let me apply it in my life. Oh, wow, that's the result I got. Now I know.
You know, I think that what you just said is so important because, again, we talk about people, you know, there are people who have made certain changes in their life and gotten on the spiritual path and are proud of the information that they learn. And, you know, as we grow and, you know, we continue to read and research and get new understanding, it feels good when you know that you're growing, when you feel that, you know, you're making progress in your spiritual life. But oftentimes, far too many times, people, like you mentioned, say, well, I'm into this now. You know, I reject, you know, maybe what I was grown up teaching or learning. You know, I reject my parents, you know, understanding of God, you know, and I've accepted, you know, this new path. But accepting the path and doing the work are two different things. Or should it be said that you haven't really accepted the path until you do the work? So it's more than just the lip service, oh, I'm into Shechem or Shechem now, you know what I mean? You know, oh, I'm into, you know, whatever now. But, you know, you've said something so important, and that is the proof is in the work. You have, it's experiential. It's something that you have to actually do in order to see the results. It's okay to, you know, read some new information and get some new understanding, but the real understanding is going to come from actually doing the actual work. What is the adage? To know truth, you must live it. So I think that's very mm-hmm. important. What you just shared, because again, a lot of us find a new way, and it feels good to be on this new path. And you know, many of us have adopted new ways of viewing life. Many people have, you know, changed their names. Many people have, you know, they're wearing the Ankh now. You know what I mean? But there's so much more to it than that.
Yeah, and it's germane to the subject that we're speaking about, because in this book, he's continuing his work of restoring the African experience, you know, from a historical perspective, which has been dismembered and fragmented. And one of the things that we learn when we go back is that there is no spiritual path without a spiritual teacher. You know, you can't really be a practitioner unless you're part of an organized body of work and you have a guide. And the Western man has basically, you know, given us this false sense that, you know, you should be able to figure it out on your own and, you know, to submit yourself to the teaching, you know, to a person to teach you and so forth. You know, we have this kind of an attitude. So those of you that want to get into yoga, if you look at the history, there's a reason why. And it's the same thing in Kemet and other traditional religions. You have to be initiated by a spiritual master. And you need the instructions of that spiritual master, because you're dealing with forces and energies, and they have to be handled in a way where they won't harm you as well, and where you won't be lost in decades of illusion, you know, only to find out that what you thought you had achieved, you know, you really hadn't. So this is an important thing, and it's part of the problem with the yoga system as it's presented to us today. As you learn in this book, we're presented with seven chakras, and most of these chakras are the lower phenomenal chakras, the ones that deal with, you know, the energy forces within our spirit. And energy is blind, you know. You can awaken these powers to a certain degree and get certain benefits, but if you're not in control of the virtues and knowledge that enables you to safely handle that energy, you can also create a lot of problems for yourself. And those virtues and that knowledge is stored in the chakras that have been, for the most part, left out of the system the way it's been presented to us, you know, today in the West.
Well, if we can, you know, to lay the foundation, I guess, well, if we haven't already, I mean, I think we've laid it, but as we delve deeper into the discussion, people have heard the term chakras as well as yoga and kundalini. I mean, they've probably heard them even as separate topics, you know, yoga being one, kundalini being another, and chakras being another. And I'd like to just take those three just for a moment, if you could. Again, I don't want to assume everybody knows. A lot of people might think they know what these words and terms mean. Could you share what, first of all, let's start with yoga. What is yoga? And then we can move into what is kundalini and what are the chakras.
Well, the first thing I like to share with people is they need to go back to Jwanza for Life, Health, Wealth, and Divine, and check out the show that you did. I believe it was last week, was it?
Yes, it was.
With Shechem Shechem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in no way to state it more eloquently than he does, but you definitely want to review that show. And as you go into the book, you learn that yoga just means to unite. It means union or to yoke, and you can yoke with, and you do yoke with many things. So it really refers to the process of going into samadhi or the state of at-one-ment with either with God or with your divine self-image. That's the ultimate goal. But it also relates to everything that you need to do in your life. You need to take into a certain state of consciousness where you are at one with that that attribute, that image. So, for example, if I need to break the habit of being addicted to certain kind of behaviors that I know are self-destructive, I need to formulate properly an image of myself free of those addictions, right? And I need to be in yoga with that image. So I need to know the process of how to take that image into a state of awareness. And in the book, he lays out these three main ones, right? Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. Progressively, where I go into Samadhi, a state of oneness, at one-ment with that image to empower, to breathe life. You know, it's like in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says that God, you know, first God formed the image, right? Made a form, and then breathed the breath of life, and then man became a living being, living soul, some to that degree, right? So it's a twofold process. So it's the same thing when you are you made in the likeness of God, right? So that creation is really about you also and your life, that you must make images of yourself. And the highest image of yourself is yourself as a God person. That's the true self image, what we call Osir in the Kemetic tradition. But then you have functional images of the different things that you need to achieve in your life, because your life is controlled by images. When you give in to that addiction, as you start to meditate and become more mindful, you'll be aware that you received an image of yourself doing that before you actually carried it out. So your life force body, which moves you to act, is guided by thoughts and images. So yoga, ultimately, the purpose of yoking is for you to take control of what it is that you're wedding your consciousness to, so that you can alter your behavior and bring your behavior in harmony with the law. And if I can expand on that point for a minute, Jwanza, I think it's very important as we witness what's going on in the United States right now, right? You know, we see that a country that's built on one principle, and the principle this country is built on is freedom, right? This is the land of the free. What is exalted to the highest degree is your freedom to choose, your freedom to pursue life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, so forth and so on. You know, that's what it's all about, you know, freedom. But right now we have I think the report said we have over 1 million dead chickens in North Carolina that are decomposing in the stormwater.
Mm-hmm.
We have hundreds of thousands of hogs dead, decomposing in stormwater. We have lagoons full of open lagoons full of pig waste matter. And I'm not just saying it because it's a pig. It'd be the same thing if it was a cow, whatever. But this is decomposing infectious, toxic matter that is now being stirred up in the water system in the state, and that's going into the rivers and streams where it's not supposed to be. Now, in Florida, we have the blue-green algae, which is a result of this kind of pollution that's now killing the fish and destroying the environment and threatening the safety of the water supply that we all depend on. So if freedom is the ultimate, you know, principle that we all abide by, we're not free to have clean water because somebody's free to make a profit, because somebody's free to manipulate the production, agricultural production, so forth, because they can lobby, they can position themselves in a certain way to bend the laws or lobby against environmental. You get what I'm saying, right? So it's really not about freedom because we're not free. We are interdependent with each other, and what you do is ultimately is going to affect me. So it's an immature society still experimenting with these ideas. No, we don't want to be under a dictatorship, but the highest virtue, according to our ancient Kemetic ancestors, is law or ma'at, or, you know, what they call the Dharma in India. And the Dharma is actually something that is released to your mind through one of these chakras, what we call chakras, right, which is just another, it's a part of the Holy Spirit, right? So when they say Kundalini, Kundalini is what we would call Ra, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the divine spirit, which in India was presented as the great mother, the divine mother. In Kemet, we say Ra, but Ra also has a female attribute. And that divine spirit has these different faculties within it that we can call that function through these centers we call the chakras. But one of these chakras, for example, in terms of our discussion, the Indu chakra is not presented to you in the seven chakra explanation. When you go online, you look up chakras, you see seven chakras, right? Sahasrara is the top, crown, Ajna, Vishuddha, Anahata, Manipura, Svadhisthana, and Muladhara. There's only seven chakras. But they left out the Indu chakra. And they left six others out beyond that. So, you know, what I'm saying is this is not like a side, pursuit. It's the lack of the proper functioning of that part of the spirit that enables men to create, societies that don't have the proper order. So that one thing that is important, freedom, we would put that on the sixth fear of the tree of life, right, brother? You know, the Heru, the free will, but that is balanced by Ma'at, the fourth fear, the law. And, you know, one without the other is, you can't really live the law if you weren't free, you know, and then you can't really exert your freedom properly if you don't have insight into the law. So this is what the function of these different centers within our spirit, parts of our spirit, or so-called gods, goddesses, however you want to present them, these are faculties within the spirit that we need in order to be whole or to be holy. That's what holiness really is to be whole, to have all of your faculties functioning. That's the goal of yoga. That's the goal of Kundalini yoga.
So, question, would the chakras be considered a metaphysical part, or would it be, because we're talking about energy here, and energy, you know, my understanding is energy would be of the physical realm. Because I'm thinking about, you know, even without trying not to take the conversation somewhere else, you know, people who have studied Qigong are familiar with meridians, you know, energy mm-hmm. pathways, shall I say, for lack of a better term. And you can correct me if this is not a good analogy, it's just, you know, if you're looking at a highway, you know, and if that highway would be consistent with, in the analogy, a meridian, an energy meridian, then would the chakras be like a toll station, you know, where, you know, at some point as you're traveling the meridians, you know, you go, or the highway, you're going to come across a toll booth. Would the chakras be, for lack of a better term, you know, considered a toll booth, or would that be a totally different system and the two can't be connected in that way?
Okay, we had to work that analogy out. I guess the toll that you have to pay is living the virtue. Is that what that is? That's pretty good. You know, in order to pass on through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You could use an analogy. It's not the best analogy, And the beauty of going back and looking at the culture is that they've worked out the best analogies. You know, that's exactly what we're trying to do right now, to be able to, like, conceptualize what it is that we're talking about and how it works, how it functions, and so forth. You know, those analogies or metaphors is what's been confused by people as, you know, worshiping different gods and goddesses and, you know, so forth, where these are really metaphorical images to help us to comprehend and for our spirit to digest, you know, what it is we're talking about. So, yeah, that's what's in the book.
So the role of the chakras would be what? You know, because, again, trying to, you know, take this information and be able to conceptualize it, you know what I mean? That's why I came up with the bad the bad analogy of the highway. But
well, it's a highway system, so it's not a bad analogy. It's that, you know, that it's not one road. It's all interconnected roads that all depend on each other. So I think the best way to think about it is just like organs in the body, right? We got organs in the body. So it's not that the blood has to go through the liver to reach the heart, you know what I'm saying? And if the liver is blocked, it's not going to get to it's not that direct. The blood is circulating through all of these different organs, right? But each one has a role to play in the functioning of the whole. And if one is not functioning properly, then it's going to affect the others, right? And ultimately affect the brain. So, for example, the liver has a very important role to play in the body, but nobody can locate where the intelligence is within the liver that instructs it as to how to make the chemicals, the hundreds of different chemicals and hormones and things that the liver produces. Nobody can locate how the liver is actually able to detect that there are certain toxins because you went out drinking last night, you know, or you smoked some reefer that are in your blood and you know, marshal certain type of chemical warfare to be able to try to detoxify the body from what you did. You know, you can't find that in the liver in the same way that, I don't know if you checked out some of these nature shows where they have organisms that don't even have a physical brain. Microorganisms, but they are able to exhibit intelligent behavior. Check that out. So intelligence is not in the brain. And you know that because you can see the intelligence of certain creatures that, you know, the brain is very small, but they exhibit, I'm stuck on these ants, man. These ants go out and they know how to find a spruce tree and to take the resin, like like frankincense, the resin from the spruce has a resin. Take the resin back to the hive, to the colony, and put it near the eggs to inoculate them from disease that might be threatening to spread inside the colony. Now, there's nothing in the size of the ant's brain that's enabled to process that. So the organ has an intelligence there, right? It's a center of intelligence, and that intelligence, you can't find a physical location for that, so that sense is metaphysical. So the chakra is the same way. The chakra is a part of the spirit. It's an organ within the body of the spirit. You have a Holy Spirit, which means the whole spirit has these different parts in it, and each of these different parts has an indwelling intelligence that will guide the functioning of the energies that enable things to happen for you in life. So the working with the chakra is how to stir, awaken or concentrate your energy in such a manner where it will stimulate that chakra to release its information. And as that information comes into your mind, then you will be intuited. You will be guided. You will gain wisdom, understanding, insight, clarity, and know how to view things, how to think about things, and how to conduct yourself in a certain situation. And then there is a power inside that center that enables you to actually carry out those instructions, because without the power, the strength, and the talent to carry it out, instructions are useless, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could tell a hyper 3-year-old child, control yourself. And even if they can comprehend what you mean by that, or sit still, they may not have the power to do that. Their energy, you know what I'm saying. So it takes energy to live the information. So the two are combined together. And in India, they metaphorize that. That's Shechem Shechem's word. He's a bad brother. He makes up his own language. Have to, right? English language is impoverished. So he says, we are metaphorizing. I mean, you're making a metaphor to explain the known, to explain the unknown with something that's known. So you say there's a god and a goddess, which, you know, all of these civilizations are monotheistic. They understand as one supreme being, but when they use the word God or goddess, they have a sense of the big G and the little G. So the little G is the presiding intelligence or presiding power over a faculty or a sphere of influence. The big G is the one supreme being, Nebuchadnezzar. So when they say God, they're talking about that aspect of the chakra that disseminates the information, the knowledge, the wisdom, the instruction. When they say goddess, they're talking about that aspect of the chakra that disseminates the power to carry out the instruction, to actually make it manifest. Two poles of the same thing.
Everybody, my special guest is Orwa. I'm Tahuti Kamo. We're talking about Kundalini Yoga. There's, again, Shechem and Shechem, Dr. Ryan Nefamin has just written a brand new book. It's available for purchase. Again, it's called Light on Kundalini Yoga, Self-Realization and Union with God. Orwa, if we could, you mentioned something earlier, and I think that the point needs to really be driven home, and you were talking about visualization and the power that it has, and, you know, that we should be visualizing ourselves. We could use that visualization power to visualize ourselves as God men and or God women. Could we talk about the importance of that again, just the visualization piece, because, you know, that's a powerful thing. And, you know, there are many people who have experienced the use of that in action. For example, you might take somebody, it's Friday afternoon, they're looking at the clock at work, they get off at 5, it's 4:30, and they can already visualize themselves at happy hour. You know, they see themselves walking through the door, they see, you know, or other examples, you know, man, when I get off work, you know what I mean, I'm going over here, I'm going to do this, and they can see themselves actually doing that, and they follow through on what it is that they see themselves doing. And if that power to visualize was
that, used, see, now you're metaphorizing.
Visualize.
Go ahead, brother. You went from visualize to visualize. See, that's the next level.
Okay. So, if you could, for that, you know, just the, again, to reinforce that, because if we remember what the goal is, you know, the goal that, you know, why we're here, that goal being to, you know, become God men and women, and that, you know, all of this work, all of the books that Shekhar Meshekhar has written, his latest, Light on Kundalini Yoga, you know, Stress Free for Life, you know, all of the books that he's written, all of the Madhuna Ter, all of these books have the goal of us becoming God men and women, and the discussion we're having today fits into that discussion, correct?
Yes, and you know, that's the so-called secret, right? You know, creative visualization, that, you know, as the Chinese say, the yi moves the qi. You know, what moves your life force is the thoughts, but you have verbal thoughts and you have visual thoughts. So in ancient Kemet, we say the goddess Nebthet or Het-Heru. You know, we don't worship a goddess. We recognize that there's a power within the spirit that's principal to our success, and we divinize it, meaning we make it sacred, we make it holy. You know, what does it mean? It means that if you are spending the majority of your hours visualizing yourself as a human being, you know, visualizing, you know, negative things happening to you, visualizing yourself not being able to handle certain things, you know, you're plagued with worry and grief and fear and so forth, but there are visual images behind those emotions that are guiding those emotions and generating and supporting and nurturing, reinforcing those emotions within your spirit. Then you're violating the law of your spirit, because God sent you to earth built for success. So God gave you dominion over what you visualize in your mind. And if you don't know that, then you are, you know, I almost said behind the eight ball. You're behind the cue ball, right? you're gonna get smacked by life, and not even realize that you are the major contributor to your failure, because you did not hold in your mind. You know, it's been said that you become your dominant pattern of thought. That's what you become. But it's the visual image of what your thoughts are indicating, right? That is what actually moves your spirit. And your spirit is not individual. Your spirit is interdependent with the spirits of others and the spirit of the earth. So you are attracting things to you and keeping things away from you according to what you are doing within your kingdom, which is your sphere of awareness. What images are you allowing your attention to dwell on, right, is what's going to determine what happens to you in your life. But our ancestors took it a step further and said, well, we have to create the proper image of the self. So how do you imagine, how do you put an image together of you being a divine being in the world, meaning having, how do you visualize yourself as being free of conditionings, meaning that you're free to respond to life's challenges in any particular way, you know, without limitation? How do you visualize yourself without, you know, the imbalances that will express themselves as your prejudices and your predilections to certain kind of behaviors over others? You know, you don't like to do this, so you neglect it. You know, you like to do this, so you do it too much, so your life becomes unbalanced. You know, so the images that we see of the Kemetic Neteru, and we see that now in ancient Black India, the presentation of these gods and goddesses are images to guide your meditation, so that you can properly use the power of creative visualization to construct you know, a bulletproof soul, right? You know, a spirit that can handle any challenge that you need.
Can you talk about meditation for a moment and the role that it plays in this discussion on Kundalini yoga? Is that a part of the system when doing the Kundalini yoga work? Would meditation, the role that meditation would play in that? And again, just for those who think they have an understanding of what meditation is, if you could touch on what it is and the role that it plays in this discussion.
Okay, well, meditation literally means the middle, right? The process of centering. And the middle state is dhyana, right? Or the alpha brainwave state, where you are internalizing your consciousness so that you can go in between being awake and being asleep, or in between the waking state and the dream state, so that you can deliberately have a dream, right? You can go into the dream world, as our ancestors also said, because this is where the magic happens, where you can achieve the state of yoga or union or oneness between the consciousness that you are and the images of what it is that you need to manifest in your life, and the sacred images that will lead you to receive wisdom and spiritual power. So meditation is simply the process of going into an altered state, it's a natural state, but deliberately going into that state while you still have the ability to use your intention, right? In the dream state, when you're asleep, you can't use your will unless you have that unusual experience of waking up in a dream. Some people might have experienced that, right? Where you actually realize that you're dreaming. That ever happened to you, brother? You wake up in a dream and you decide to change the color of the sky or something, or fly through the galaxy.
I got that far, but I woke up in the middle of the dream. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
But thankful, you know, like, oh God, that was a dream, you know. Yeah.
Oh yeah, well that's a yeah. Okay, that kind of dream, yeah. But yeah, in the dream state, you don't have access to the will, right? So the goal is for you to go into that middle state where you still have the ability to use the will, but you have access to the spiritual realm. That's what meditation is all about. And again, you know, people have been sold the short form, the outer form of it, you know, like it lowers your blood pressure, helps you to relax. You know, a lot of people just using meditation for that, and that's all good. But the highest purpose of meditation is for you to control your dominant pattern of thinking, of visualizing, of how you see yourself, so that you can have access to all your divine faculties to be successful in life.
Again, everybody, if you have a question, if you're listening online, all you have to do is press 1, or shall I say, if you're listening by phone, all you have to do is press 1, and I can bring you on, and you can ask your question or make your comment. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. Orwa, can we talk for a moment about sound and the chakras? I'd like to touch on mantras, if you would, the role that mantras play in this discussion on Kundalini yoga. You mentioned mantras earlier in the discussion, and again, I don't want to assume that people, when they hear the word mantra, that they know what it means. And even if they've heard it, if you could really drive home the importance of understanding what it is and the power of mantras.
Yes, it's very beautiful and highly spiritual when you understand that our power of speech and our power to generate, you know, sound is at the heart of creation, and it's again represented in the Old Testament where you know, God speaks the world into existence, right? And also that the word, you know, must become flesh and so forth. So it really comes down to physics and energy, that everything is vibration, and everything that vibrates makes a sound. So what our ancestors did, and I just want to give thanks to Shechem Reshechem for his historical brilliance in going back and reconstructing our ancestry, and also those brothers and scholars, men and women, you know, that have nurtured the black community, understanding that, for example, the first people in India were Africans. They're still there, black people, and they have been relegated to a outcast in a caste society. That's pretty funny, right? A lot of times we use the word outcast. We don't even realize what that means. That means that you're not even in the caste. And the caste wow. system that's been in place in India since the Aryans invaded from the north and, you know, raped and pillaged their way into control and then took the culture of the people and set up this caste system, you know, the Brahmins and the Vaishnas and the Kshatriyas and so forth, you know. It's a caste system. And the lowest, or even not in the caste, the outcasts, are actually the ancestors of those people that created the great civilizations in India. And that's another thing that is missing from our understanding of our blackness, of our Africanness, that when we're chanting the mantra Aung, you know, people think that's some Indian thing. That's some, and they're thinking of some Brahmin. You know, they have the same kind of color thing over there. You know, that we suffered from here. You know, you think that that's some foreign thing. You know, that Aung is this semantical variation of the Ankh that you're wearing around your neck. So like you said, they're wearing the Ankh earrings and the necklaces and all that, and never chanted the mantra Om or Ankh. It's a word of power, and you see all the gods holding it because it is the highest word of power that unifies you with your true self, you know, the God self within you, so that the power of that particular Neter does not distract you from your true self. Because you're not Heteru, you're Osir, but you use the Heteru powers. You're not Heteru, you're Osir, you know. So, you know, this is part of our heritage, reconstructing this information, and it's been perverted to the point where people are given one mantra, you know, this is your particular mantra, or given, you know, the so-called secret of the universe, chant this phrase. You know, there's a body of mantras that go with these different powers within the spirit, that have the function of stimulating that faculty in order to have it release its knowledge and its power. So it is a principal practice in meditation to use the words of power. We call them Hekau in ancient Egypt, ancient Kemet, the Hekau. To use the Hekau as part of your meditation process. So in this book, you get the Hekau and a phenomenal instruction on how to chant them on the held breath. And we experimented. I'm using the word experiment lightly because we already know the outcome. Right. We've been using these mantras for 40 years. But we did this technique at the retreat. And I'm fortunate enough, I had a son, a daughter there, and some young people. And one of the evenings after the meditation, we sat around the table, and it was just mind-blowing hearing the meditation experiences of these young people, 18, 19, 21, 22 years old, talking about the visions that they had, the insight that they got from sitting there for an hour, you know, chanting the mantra as we did, you know, together. So that's how we know that this works. And it's not a worship system. It's not you're worshiping a god or you're doing something, you know, again, the Western media has done a good job of maligning us, maligning anything. If somebody's doing some incantations, working some spells, you know, have you thinking you're worshiping the devil, which they don't even know what the devil is, you know. That's why they burned women at the stake for having sex with the devil, you know. Study your history. They've put all of this out there. They put it in the movies and in the symbols and the videos to keep you away, make you think, oh, if I sit there and chant the mantra, Om, I'm doing something wrong. You know, I'm doing something ungodly. No, this is a science that will deliver to you the highest and most beautiful wisdom. You know, I have a son who, you know, he had, after using these mantras, he had a dream, and the dream was so profoundly revealing to, you know, what he needed to take care of in terms of his spiritual work in order to guard himself from a future transgression, something that hasn't even happened, but something that he may be open to if he doesn't do his spiritual work. So, you know, all I can say to your audience is that, you know, I really hope that you try, do the spiritual experimentation. Become a spiritual scientist, not a believer, a scientist. Do the experimentation. You'll find that when you chant these words of power, like on Saturday night, Brother Juwanza at 2, actually at 8 p.m. Saturday night, the 29th, if you're in Philadelphia, or you can actually do it online. We're going to broadcast one of these chakra meditations. We're going to be working on the Herit chakra and the mantras of Herin, which relates to Heru. Yeah, which relates to Heru in ancient Egypt. So this is not a stretch or an ego trip to say, oh yeah, the blacks here, you know, we have the same technology, the same mantras, words of power. You'll find them in ancient Egypt, embedded in the names of the so-called gods that you'll find in India. So you'll be able to sit there and do that meditation. If you do that meditation, some of you will get results the same night, instantaneously. Others of you will have dreams where the chakra will release information to you to guide you. And others of you, after several days or weeks of doing the meditation, you'll automatically start to feel different, to act different, to change, to see things that you need to change about yourself, and have the strength to do it.
Well, or while the calls are coming in, they got a packed house, the lines are full, but people want to talk to you, my brother. Can we go to take some calls?
Definitely, and I just want to, if I could, before we do that, just remind people that we will not be broadcasting Sunday mornings, Surya Namaskars and Rachi Gong, but other than that, Saturday afternoon, there's a 2 p.m. session. Saturday night, there's an 8 p.m. session. Sunday afternoon, there's a 1 p.m. session. And then Sunday at 4 is the Shechem Shechem's keynote address. So you can come to Philadelphia, share with us. We have some very inexpensive Airbnb arrangements with a black art gallery. I think we still have a few spots available. It's like $100 for two nights. You can hang out with us and experience this weekend. You won't be the same when you go home. And if you're not able to do that, you can go online and you can participate online in everything except the Sunday morning in the park.
You know, it's amazing to me the affordability of the workshops and the lectures and the book signings and all of this. I mean, it's like, wow, you get an opportunity to grow and to actually fellowship with other people of like minds. You know, it's oftentimes when you get on a spiritual path and you start growing, you know, when the old crew falls away, you know, you got to find a new crew. You know, you got to find some people
yeah.
that to, you know, somebody you can pick up the phone and call and share what you're learning with, because, you know, the old people you roll with, you know, they might not want to hear that, you know. So you need to, with other people who are of like minds. So let me get to the calls here. I'm going to call out the last four digits of your number, 2216. 2216, you're on the air with Orwa Amtahudi Kamo. Thank you so much for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
welcome.
Good. My name is Lorraine, and my question is about a sensitivity to the changing seasons. I was wondering if, okay, I have had, since I was about 36 years old, I have been having diagnoses with mental health, and and I noticed a pattern with all of the seasons. This past fall equinox, I'm also going through something, and I was wondering if there's any connection between the solstices and the equinoxes with when your ancestors or when people who have passed away are going through the halls of judgment. Can it affect people that they're connected to here on this side? Does that make sense? Do you understand my question?
Yes. Yes, it does. And and the answer is yes. You have a seasonal, there's a seasonal fluctuation of energy, and that affects us physically, it affects us mentally, it affects us, you know, spiritually. So as far as how to bring yourself in balance and keep yourself in balance, and that applies to all of us, right? You know, a lot of us are, in fact, they even have a clinical name for what, seasonally affected disorder, or SADS or something, right? Where people are more prone to depression and things like that as we go into the colder months, into the winter, and what have you. So, you know, the best system that we found to bring your energies into balance and to maintain them in a state of balance is the Taoist system. So we always recommend that people get a, regardless of what you think your state of health is, mental, physical, otherwise, that you get a an AccuGraph. That's one of the services we provide here, also in our several of our locations around the country, or you can go to a good doctor of Chinese medicine and have your pulses taken on your organ energy systems, right? And between that, the AccuGraph, you can get a good understanding of what's going on with your health, besides just the physical. It has a physical side, but beyond the physical, on the energetic side. And then the prescription would involve Qigong. Qigong exercises, perhaps herbs, you know, acupuncture treatments. And you will know that when you go into certain seasons, like right now, traditionally we focus on the lung and large intestine, because as you go into the winter, the cold, damp energy of the winter will affect your lung system, and also you will tend to hold on to waste matter as your body tries to conserve heat, adjusting to the temperature getting colder outside. So as a preventative, we go through several days of fasting where you use herbs and supplements, salads and you know, certain foods. We don't advocate fasting just on water. Most people are not strong enough for that, because you have toxins in your body that you need to detoxify, and the body uses nutritional elements, vitamins, minerals, and so forth, to get that out of your system. So we eat a fasting diet in order to help the body to clean out those systems, to prepare yourself for the winter, so you won't have that that negative effect. And then in the springtime is when you want to give the liver a good cleansing as you're coming out of the winter from holding on to the waste matter and toxins in the body. The liver needs its break and rejuvenation in the springtime and so forth. So, yes, that's a very important point. all of these are interdependent parts of a way of life. Because if your health is not good, if your life force is low, if your energy is weak, if your body is weak, you can't even sit up straight in a chair and breathe and meditate for 15, 20 minutes. You know, that's what the purpose of the, you know, the yoga asanas and all that is, to make your body strong enough and your breathing regulated enough that you can then meditate effectively. So just doing the asanas will help your health, but the ultimate purpose of them is the preparation for meditation. And the same thing goes with the Qigong exercises and all the health practices in order for you to be able to have your energy in a state of balance so that you can get the best spiritual growth effect. So I hope I answered your question. If you email us at osiris@pa.com, I'm sorry, osiris@pa@gmail.com, we recently did a class on the winter. I'm preparing for the winter through the autumnal equinox, and there is a handout on the diet, which, for those of you that are waiting, I'm going to get it. I was waiting for some modifications. We will be emailing it out to you, and we can send you a copy of that to look at.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I'm already on the email list for Osiris PA. So do I need to send you an email, or is that just something that's going to go out to everyone that's on the email list?
Yes, send me an email. We're going to send it to the people that requested it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you
so much for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. We got another caller. Are you good on time?
Yeah, sure.
All right. 8189, you're on the air with Orwa. I'm Tahuti Kamo. Thank you so much for your patience.
Yes. No problem. Anet Harak, Orwa. And Anet Harak to you as well, Juanza. And I just really wanted to say, about the Kundalini lights on Kundalini Yoga by Shekhem Reshekhem, and I wanted to give my testimony on it. It's amazing, to say the least. I've been, I'm now on the Shering, which is the Ma'at chant, and it's been taking me to different places within my own life. And I also noticed when chanting the Hering that the level of focus that I have is amazing, and the level of, you know, figuring things out is also at a higher level than it was before. I mean, I was the type of person that used to jump from things to doing this over there, doing that over there, and never really finishing anything. And it came to my realization of why I was doing that and how to also overcome, you know, that as well. And I think, you know, anybody that's on this call, that's something that you definitely, that book is something that you definitely want to get. And I just wanted to share that with your audience.
Okay, Brother Aknefus, I really appreciate that testimonial. It's wonderful, and appreciate your fellowship and us working together. So take good care.
Most
keep
definitely.
Up the good work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for your call, my brother. Okay, next caller, 4853. You're on the air with Orwa Amtahuti Kamo.
Greetings. I'm sure you brothers are doing well. I just wanted to ask for that email address again, because I would definitely like to get that information about those remedies that prepare and cleanse the body from this particular season.
Okay, sure. So that's osarosetpa@gmail.com. That's A-U-S, like Sam, A-R-A-U-S-E-T. P-A, like Pennsylvania, @gmail.com. You can also go to osarosetpa.com. And you can, there should be a pop-up as soon as you go there to sign up on the email list. You can sign up that way. And if you do that, you will automatically, in fact, that's the better way to go. You should automatically get a welcome email, and you'll be added to all of our future activities and what have you. and then just reply to the welcome email that you would like to receive a copy of the information, the health information. And Brother Juwanza, I'm going to extend a gift to your audience that anybody that signs up on our email list, we will send them a free session of our last Kemetic Spiritual Science class. We have a subscription service where every Sunday we have a class on Kemetic spirituality. We have about 40 classes in there now. And for $25 a month, you can subscribe and you can have access to all of those. You can view them, their audio visual, on your phone, on your tablet, computer, anywhere, so that you can go over the information. And the last three were on the subject of Ma'at, and the last one on Ma'at, we covered some information about the fast and the seasons and what have you. So I will send that out as a free gift to the supporters of your show if they send us an email at osarasetpa@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Brother Dua. That is that's awesome. All of the listeners, again, I know you appreciate that. Baba, did you 8485, did you have any you wanted to add or ask?
Yes, brother. The chants, are the chants on the website like amen, you know, or set chant, things like that?
Well, we have the recordings of all of the words of power. We have a CD for each one on TauiNetwork.com, and that is spelled T-A-U-I Network, TauiNetwork.com. And you can order a CD that has guided meditation and the music and all that with each of these words of power. Now, the use of the words of power, as it is described in the Kundalini Yoga book, is complementary to that. So you'll hear the proper pronunciation on the CDs, and then when you're chanting it mentally, just chanting the word of power, you'll know how to do that as you get it in the book. But the book gives you all the mantras, and the website has all of the recordings of the mantras, full version with music. And also guidance to how to breathe to go into the meditation state.
Awesome. Yes, my godmother passed last year, and she was with Brother Ra early in when he was in, I think it was Harlem, before he went to Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah, and she had.
And what was her name? What's her name?
Oh man. You got to give me a minute on that. I was just thinking about it the other day.
I might know her. Oh yes.
Iwumi. She passed. She made a transition early this year. I believe it was early this year. Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful sister. I know all of her children. I grew up with her. She was there when I got there. And we spent a lot of nights together and the meditations and the classes and what have you with her family. So my condolences. It's a beautiful spirit. I'm sure she's well-received by the ancestors.
Indeed. Yeah, beautiful. I learned quite a bit from her, you know, but overall she was informing me about the power of Saturn and Oshun, and she talked about those things. And, you know, she said that's one chant that I should do as far as, you know, correlating to my birth chart, things of that nature. And that kind of energy I need to draw more into myself. So, you know, I want to get that.
All right, well, you gotta carry on now. Where she led you, and come to the source and continue your work.
Thank you so much for your call, my brother. Oh, anybody, by the way, anybody else, if you have a question or a comment, just press 1. I want to make sure that all of the listeners that are listening by phone understand that you can follow the show, okay? You can actually follow Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanza for Life, by going to this web address, and then you click follow, and then every time that I do a show with members of the Asura Society or, you know, the show we talk about holistic health, entrepreneurship, you'll be notified of the guest, the date and the time. Again, you'll be notified of the guest, the topic, the date and the time. So the web address is www.blogtalkradio.com/Juwanza4life, L-I-F-E. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/JAWANZ4life. Okay, and then you click follow, and we've got an awesome archive. You can scroll down the list of shows. You'll see shows with Shechem and Shechem, Dr. Rao Nefam, and you'll see other shows with, I'm a special guest today, Orwa Amtahudi Kamo. Just did a show the other day with Dr. Orwa Hehe Medurain Comet. All these shows are in the archives. So, again, www.blogtalkradio.com/Juwanza, J-A-W-A-N, like Nigeria, Z like Zimbabwe, A, the number 4, life, and then just click follow, and you can follow the show. For all the people that are listening online, if you haven't followed the show, all you have to do is click follow, and then you'll be notified. Every time I do a show, you'll be notified of the guest, the topic, the date, and the time. I had a couple more questions, but I know we're over the time. I don't want to monopolize your time. Are you good, or do we need to wrap it up?
Well, I just wanted to share again what is going on this weekend with the audience. So if I could, we are having Kundalini yoga weekend, and the purpose of the weekend is practice. You know, the highlight of the weekend is Sunday when you get to hear from Shechem and Shechem himself. Hopefully we will have enough time for you to get your book signed, if you'd like to get your book signed by the author. But the lecture that he gives is going to give you the full impact, understanding this subject and its importance to the world at this point. And we wanted to have workshops before he came so that, you know, you can, once you receive his message and you're inspired to put this into practice, you already have one foot on the road. So if you come to Philadelphia, or you come to our live stream, it starts Saturday, the 29th at 2 p.m. You can learn about the Surya Namaskar practice, right, which is the supportive energy for everything else in the system, starting with energizing the Harit chakra. So at 2 p.m. We will be explaining what that practice is. We'll be talking about the 6 mantras, Hakau, very powerful, like what the brother was referencing, that will get your energy moving, get you focused, how you can incorporate this into your day, that when you start your day with this practice, you know, Juwanza, there's people, highly accomplished people, and I'm not saying I advocate this, but they schedule their day in 15-minute blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful. One of the practices you'll learn in this book is he calls the Kriya practice, where it's a mindfulness, meaning that if you have, for example, you have to read some information. If you say, for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to focus my attention 100% on reading and understanding this information, and actually set yourself a timer, and do not allow yourself to be distracted by any other thought. When you first try that, you might have difficulty. But after a while, especially by using these mantras and this practice, you can become so focused. And you, with that incredible focus, you will assimilate that information perfectly. And then you give yourself a break, 2-3 minutes, whatever, and then you do it another 15 minutes. You know, so it's that type of, because if you look at it, we spend so much of our life in distraction. You know, you set some goals. You said you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Oh, yeah, I'm getting around to reading this. I'm getting around to studying that. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then you look and examine your life and you see you're just all over the place. You're just distracted. So we would talk about that and give you this practice to incorporate into your day. And I guarantee you, if you try it, you would be more accomplished. You would get more done. You'd be more focused. You have more clarity. People would be saying, wow, you know, that was really brilliant. How did you come up with that? I never thought about it that way. You know, it's not you. It's not me. It's the energy coming through that chakra. So we would do that at 2 p.m. And then at 8 p.m. we will have a meditation, show you how to do the meditation on that chakra and actually do it with you online or in present. And then Sunday, if you're in Philadelphia, we're going to get together at 9 o'clock in the morning and actually do the Surya Namaskar practice. And we have incorporated the Ra Qi Gong into the workout. So we start with the Surya Namaskars and then do Ra Qi Gong, show you how to get all of that in a concentrated period of time. Very powerful. You start your day off with that, you know. People look at our members and, you know, a lot of times they're like amazed. Wow, you got so much energy. You never seem to be down. And how are you able to just keep going? It's because we do this every day. That's why. So we're ready. We're going to succeed on purpose, you know, not by default. We're going to succeed by design. So this is all success practices. And then so Sunday morning we'll show you how to put that into a routine. So every day you can get that in. And we come back together at 1 p.m. after a lunch break, and we would do another chakra meditation. And then we'd be ready for Shechem Shechem at 4 p.m. So it's going to be a full weekend. It's going to be transformational if you want it to be. If you come prepared, you take notes, you absorb the information and commit yourself to the practice, you can make a vertical move in your life right now, a bold, aggressive vertical move where things just don't, you break out of stagnation. All you need is the right coaching and then put into place a schedule of practice. And like the brother said from that was on earlier, you will get results very, very quickly. And then you'll be a knower, not a believer. So come to Philly and enjoy this program, or go to osarasetpa.com, get on the email list, and we will send you the email link to sign up for the online live broadcast and also receive recordings. So if you're not available for some of these sessions, if you sign up for the live broadcast, it's a $25 fee that covers the entire weekend. We will send you the recordings of the sessions as well. So you will be with us one way or another.
And can you share the deal that you've given to my listeners, the people that are listening to this show, that are following the show, and those who may reference the show when they contact you?
Yes, so just sign up on our email list, and we will send you the last class that we had. That subject matter was on Ma'at, the principle of divine law, and also the equinox, how to prepare yourself, how to fast for the equinox. We'll send you that information.
I'd like to challenge everybody that's listening to really make the effort to get to Philadelphia. You know, sometimes people, when they hear of a workshop, they might listen and they love the information, but because it's out of town, they just immediately write it off like, oh, okay, that's in Philly, you know, I'm in Cleveland, you know, oh, well, you know, or I'm in Philly, or that's in Philly, I'm in D.C., you know, oh, well, you know. But if somebody told you that if you were there on the 29th and the 30th that you would get $1 million, I bet you'd get there. I bet you'd go. Find a way to get there. You would make a way to get there. If you had to sell something to get the money to go, you would do it to get there, okay? This information that you're going to receive at this on this weekend could be worth far more to you than money, okay? We're talking about your spiritual life here, and not just yours, but your family. Who's going to benefit? Your family's going to benefit, okay? Your community's going to benefit. This is worth. This is not about money, okay? But if you do what the practices and the principles are in the book, and with the practices that you'll learn and the techniques that you'll learn at the weekend, you can make money too, okay? So it behooves mm-hmm. you to really make the effort, and I challenge you, don't just say, oh, it's in Philly and I'm not in Philly, so I can't make it. No, try to make it. You know, matter of fact, let's not say try to make it. Take the word try out. Make it. Make it, okay? Great interview, my brother. I had one last question about food in the chakras, the role that food plays, because, again, a lot of times we're eating the wrong stuff, and I'm sure that that affects us on many, many different levels. Would there be a connection there?
Yeah, well, the simplest way to think about it is that you want to eat the optimal diet for yourself and engage in the best exercise practices, because it all comes down to energy, vitality. I've been teaching meditation for years. I'll teach a meditation class, and people come in off the street, and they fall asleep in the first 5 minutes. Or they'll say, yeah, I try to meditate, I fall asleep. That's because your energy is low. Your chi is low. Your vitality is low. And you have, you know, used up so much of your vitality just trying to survive physically with the poor diet you're on and lack of exercise and not doing breathing exercises and taking care of your health, that you got no chi, no energy, and there's no mantra to help you. Nothing will save you because you can't even stay awake long enough to chant the mantra. So, yes, it all integrates, and that's what it's holistic. It's the law that you have to take care of the physical body. That's the cornerstone of spirituality, which has been thrown away by a lot of people. They just think, just believe, just claim something, and you're saved. You have to. Your body was made to manifest the great wonders of the spirit, the high powers and wisdom and faculties and so forth. And these faculties need energy, and you cannot function out of these faculties if you're dragging your body around. So you must take care of your physical health. You have to, you know, discipline yourself if you want to grow spiritually. There's no spiritual growth without you also understanding that I have to take care of my physical body. God made it a certain way for a particular reason. And it's very deep when you understand the whole process of sublimation and how the human being is different than every other creature on the planet in terms of its gestational cycle and being able to reproduce at any time, and how those energies are there for you to reproduce the higher faculties within your spirit. It's very deep. So, of course, diet and health practices, we cannot dispense, we can't make progress on the spiritual path neglecting those things. And it's also a sign of your lack of spirituality when you are mm-hmm. addicted to, you know, to eating just based on pleasure, you know. That's you asserting the law. I'm going to eat so that I can live, as opposed to living to satisfy my taste buds. So thank you, Brother Jawanza. It's always a pleasure talking to you and your audience. I thank everybody that showed up today to participate. And I just want to remind people that this brother is doing wonderful work. Make sure that you turn off the false news, the fake news. Our president did give us one thing about fake news. It's all fake news because there's nothing new about it. And it's not going to change your life, whether they put this judge in or that judge or whatever. Okay, we need to participate in the political process. But at the same time, there's no political change that's going to save us if we don't get our spirits in order. We are going to continue to be the pawns in the game. So turn it off and turn on Blog Talk Radio. Listen to Jawanza. You know, I go to YouTube University. I'm listening to Renoko Rashidi and, of course, Shechem Shechem and all these scholars and so forth, constantly trying to improve my person. That's the real news, you know, is that the world is in in a downward trend because they have destroyed the ancient wisdom, and we have to be a part of bringing this ancient wisdom back. And it starts with our living, not our talking. So I hope to see all of y'all in Philly or to see you online with us, and I wish you the best. That's Pooh.
Brother Orwa, again, thank you so much for your time today. A lot of powerful, powerful, powerful information. Again, I want to thank you so much, everybody. Orwa, again, I can't wait for the next interview, my brother. So, everybody, if you want to know when Orwa's coming back on, you need to follow the show, and you'll be notified of the date, the time, the topic. Okay? So much for your time. Everybody, don't go away. I got some announcements to make. Orwa, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you today.
Thank you, Brother Hetepu.
Hetepu. Everybody, that is Orwa Amtahudi Kamo. Again, don't go away. Got an announcement to make. First of all, again, I want to let everybody know, if you want to hear more information like this and you have not followed the show, okay, you got to follow the show. I just did an awesome interview last week with Shechem Shechem, Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amen, on his brand new book, Light on Kundalini. Okay, if you'd like to hear that show, okay, then all you got to do is follow the show. How do you do that? If you're listening by phone and you don't have the web address, I'm going to give it to you again. It's www.blogtalk, that's B like baby, LOGTALK radio.com /. Jawanza, that's J-A-W-A-N like Nigeria, Z like Zimbabwe, A, the number 4, life, L-I-F-E. If you go there, okay, there's a button. It'll say follow. All you have to do is click it, and you'll be then notified every time I do a show. You'll be notified of the date, the person, the topic, and the time. Okay. Same for the people that are listening online. If you're listening online, you already see it. You already see the button. If you'd like to hear every time I do a show, all you have to do is just click it, and you'll be notified of that. Okay. Again, here's an announcement. Okay. Also did a show just the other day. It was on the 20th with Dr. Orwa Amtahudi Kamo. I'm sorry, not Dr. Orwa Amtahudi Kamo. Dr. Orwa Hehi Medaran Comet. Dr. Orwa Hehi Medaran Comet did an awesome show on the 20th. I believe that was Thursday. And there's going to be an excursion to Ghana and Benin in West Africa, departing on December the 29th, 2018, and coming back on January the 11th, 2019. If you've never been to Africa, okay, and you've always wanted to go, but you didn't want to go by yourself because you didn't know anybody, okay, I can't think of a better group of people to go with than the group that's going. Okay, again, that's going to be on December the 29th of this year and coming back on January the 11th. Okay, so if you'd like more information, then text Orwa at 202-497-2499. Again, that's 202-497-2499. I mean, you got to go back and listen to that show. Okay, we did a whole show on the excursion. So if you go back in the archives, that was on the 20th, I believe it was, of this month. That was like last Thursday. Then you'll hear all of the particulars about the show, what you need to do to prepare for the show, I mean, to prepare for the trip. I mean, you got to get your passport, of course. You got to get a shot, of course, okay, get immunized. But look, go back and listen to the show, okay, because there's a lot of powerful information that Orwa gives concerning the show, why it's important to go. It's like the 400-year anniversary. It's being titled The Year of Return. Okay, it's the 400-year mark, 400 years since we've been, well, since we were brought over here. And so 400 years now later, we're going home. Okay, so want you to be a part of that. So definitely make sure that you check out that show. Okay, also, again, as I mentioned, did a great show with Shechem Shechem, Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amen, on his brand new book, Light on Kundalini Yoga. Okay, that is also in the archives. So if you go back and listen to that show, that was like early part of last week as well. If you go back and listen to that show, then you will get all of the information on how you can get the book, okay, and really get started on preparing and getting yourself ready to become the divine man and woman that you were put here to be. My name is Jawanza, and I just want to take a moment and thank you all for taking the time out to listen. And I ask that you share this information. We're in the month of the faculty of Ma'at, okay? And one of the hallmarks of Ma'at is sharing, okay? If you got this information and you're listening online right now, you tuned in because somebody took the time to share this information with you that Orwa Amtahudi Kamo was going to be on my show today. Somebody shared it with you. You got it either by via Facebook, you know, somebody texted you, somebody called you, you know, but you got it because somebody shared it with you. So there are people that you know would be interested in this interview today. This was a great interview. Orwa laid it out, right? And you know that there are people that would enjoy it just as much as you did, but they don't know about it if you don't share it with them, okay? How do you share it? If you're listening and you got it by Facebook via a link that someone shared with you, all you have to do is click share, and you can share it with all the people that are on your page, okay? If you got it via a text, somebody texted you the information, you can text it to other people, because just because they didn't hear the show live doesn't mean that they can't hear it. Again, this show is going to be archived approximately 30 minutes after the show ends, so you can go back. If you enjoyed it, you can go back and listen to it again and again and again. And also the people that you share it with, they can hear it in the archive. So just because they missed it live doesn't mean that they can't benefit from it, because they can go back and listen to it when they have an opportunity to sit down and relax and listen to a great show. But it's more than just the show. The show is hopefully leading to the end of you actually either going to Philadelphia and taking part in the two-day affair, or you listening to it online, or, you know, you can actually get it to get the live stream, okay? This information is all about the work. It's easy to sit back and listen to a show and say, you know what, that was good. That was a good show. And you wouldn't be lying. It was a good show. But what's the benefit to you? It's only beneficial to you if you put the information that you hear, that you learn, in practice. It's all right to learn something new, and we feel good about that, don't we? We learn something new, and we feel good. We got some new information. We feel intelligent. We feel smart. We feel like, yeah, I'm on the path. But it's about the work. Are you really on the path? Are you really on the path? When you look back at your life, where you were last year spiritually, and you look at where you are today, do you see progress? Do you feel like I've advanced, you know, certain things that I needed to stop doing, I don't do anymore. Certain things that I needed to start doing, I actually have started doing those things. If that's true, then awesome. But there's always another level, you know. There's always some things that we can add to our reservoir of knowledge, but not just for the knowledge, not just for the sake of knowledge by itself, but because we want to grow. What's the goal? Becoming Oseir, God on earth. Are you ready? Well, keep tuning in. As I said, keep coming back, right? Keep tuning in, and I guarantee you, you won't be able to help but to grow. Remember to share this information. Again, I say thank you to all of you. By the way, if you would like to get in contact with me, you can actually give me a message, send me a message through Blog Talk. There is a message, I guess a button that you click, and you can excuse me, actually text me or email me or send me through Blog Talk a message. If you'd like to get in contact with me, let me know how you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to, you know, hear more of a particular person, any suggestions of people that you would like to hear, then let me know. Give me some feedback. What are you thinking about the show? Judging from the callers, you're enjoying it, and I'm glad that I could bring this information to you. Who am I? My name is Jawanza. Again, thank you so much for your time. I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Thank you so much for your time. Everybody enjoy an awesome day. At Tepu.